Second hour, Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. All right, let's say hello and good afternoon to Titans linebacker Rashawn Evans. He is on the line with us. We always enjoy our talks with him. Rashawn, how you doing?
Man, I'm doing good. How are y'all?
It's been an interesting 2020 calendar year, hasn't it?
Man, it has. Definitely one for the books.
Yeah, you ended on a high note. Well, a high note. I know you wanted to win the AFC Championship game and get to the Super Bowl, but look, all in all, it was a successful season. You were one of four teams left standing in the NFL, and it just seems like it's kind of gone to hell since then, huh?
No doubt, man. It was definitely an electric, definitely a big experience for not only me but the team, rest of the team. Just to be able to have that opportunity to go as far as we did, and be able to come back from a 2-4 start and just kind of overcome all of the challenges and the adversity that we did go through. I just feel like it made us a really a better team, and for us to have that much more motivation to go back this next season, man, and, even go further.
You've played on a lot of successful teams. Do players know – do you know inside that – there's nobody that understands or gets the vibe of a room and understands – the dynamic of a room and the talent that you have more than a player. You know it. You see it. You truly know if your team is good or not. Can you also feel that during the course of a season where you feel like things are coming together and, uh-oh, watch out? Do you get that vibe as a player?
I mean, yeah, you could definitely get that vibe, but I feel like it's more of a transitional type thing. You start when – I mean, obviously we don't have the OTAs to begin that process, that's kind of been, rescheduled to, just camp right now. But, if you were going through the OTAs and leading into camp and all that, it's like a transitional thing. You get in there with the guys, you build that chemistry, you run through the plays, you go in those film meeting rooms, and, you just have that type of camaraderie amongst the guys, and that's how it becomes, what it is or how it was at the end of the season last year. We were the closest we could have ever been during that season. Once, we were backed up against the wall, everybody was against us, everybody wasn't expecting us to go as far as we did. That's when that camaraderie and that chemistry really made its peak. So this is just still the beginning stage of the camaraderie against the guys now, just through these virtual meetings and Zoom meetings that we're doing. We're just slowly doing it now. And by the time it's, November and December going into January, I mean, it's going to be at its peak.
Your sport in college football were really the only two sports that, where you're truly in your off season whenever this global pandemic hit. So you just talked about Zoom meetings. Besides that, and you obviously missed some OTAs, but other than that, how much has it changed what you normally do as a professional football player in the off season?
I mean, I feel like it's changed a lot of our routine and what we're used to. You go after the season is over, you get your 3 to 4 months off with your family and all those things. You go back into OTAs, you get back into the wind of things, get back to the groove of things of football, basically the basics of playing football and having to run through your basic plays, some of the things that you will run at the beginning of the camp. And, that has kind of been altered a little bit just because of this virus and some of the things that are still going on now. So, I mean, it just has kind of just changed up, a lot of the routine that we have a lot of guys are used to annually every year. But, the great thing about NFL players, we're able to adapt when we get faced with stuff like this. This is the reason why we are pro athletes. You have to be able to still stay in shape, still be able to stay up to par with your playbook, still to be able to, be able to want to go out and develop that chemistry with new guys that are coming in, and to be able to, even level up your game from guys that are leaving. So it's something that, it's a challenge, but at the same time, it's exciting because you get faced with a new challenge each and every year. And, that's the reason why we play this game.
Speaking of change, Rashawn Evans, Titans linebacker on the line with us. You grew up in the South. You played your college ball in the South. You're now playing professionally in the South. And while an incident, a very, very unfortunate incident happened in Minneapolis, Minnesota, it has affected our country right now, and it has affected our market. I just want to know from you, Rashawn, what this has meant to you, and just maybe a little bit of, you know, growing up for Rashawn Evans, and what goes through your mind when this is going on.
I mean, just a guy coming out of the South, you know, an area where that is, you know, prominent more than any other of the states in the United States. I have a different viewpoint of something like this. This is more of me having both understanding of, you know, how you treat a person says a lot about yourself. And, you know, I take that to the heart. I feel like it should be, you know, universal for anybody, you know, any human being across the globe to understand that, you know, the number one thing is to preserve life. The number one thing is to love your neighbor. The number one thing is to, you know, make sure that each and every person that you meet, you know, you treat them as you would want to be treated. And, you know, that was not done, you know, recently with the passing of George Floyd. What I do want to speak on is also, too, just with the media and the confusion and the riots and the looters and all these things that are going on, there has to be, you know, people like us who are influencers, people who are of some type of influence, who have following, people who are, you know, who have been watching the news, have been trying to understand this clutter that has been caused by the chaos of all this stuff, knowing that, you know, you have to speak to the people to know that this is not about a white and black thing. This is more of about everybody who is part of and understands that, you know, racial injustice is wrong. It's just that simple. And, you know, you got to get to the point of just simple fact. Black men are being, you know, at a high rate being killed by police officers. That is just a statistical fact. And, you know, we're able to now see those things with social media, with the internet. We're being able to see what's going on behind closed doors. But at the end of the day, I feel like the most beautiful part about this, even with all this stuff that's going on, is to see all races come together and be able to help out one cause, which is the racial injustice against black lives. So, you know, even with the Black Lives Matter movement, it is not to, you know, say that white people lives don't matter, or to say Mexican lives don't matter, or to say any other race life doesn't matter. It's to basically bring up forth, you know, the fact that the racial injustice that has been happening to black people has been unfair. And when you say Black Lives Matter, you're just making sure that people understand that with these racial injustices and inequality when it comes to police officers and interacting with other black men and other black people, that you want them to understand that that's what's going on, for them to understand as well. You know, I had a very good conversation with my coach. Our coach, Coach Vrabel, came and talked to us individually, each and every group, which, you know, I feel like I've developed even more respect for him to be able to come back and talk to us about topics like this. We didn't even talk about football. We talked simply on what was going on in the world. And I feel like that's how you start. You go and have conversation about these things, not only amongst your peers, but you have conversations about this with your kids, so that the younger generation can understand that what's wrong and what's right and be able to act on it. I feel like this is now for a lot of the people who are of age and are able to make moves and be able to do things. This is an opportunity for us to turn this thing back around so that the younger generation doesn't have to keep doing this over and over again. You know, at this time right now, we should be in OTAs. People should be out partying. People should be out working. People should be out doing stuff, you know, that you're supposed to be doing as far as living life. You know what I'm saying? It's so much things that are going on that are preventing us from doing the very things that we're put on earth here to do, and that's simply to live and to love your neighbor. So, you know, just from my viewpoint on all that, man, just to kind of sum it up, I just want everybody to understand that, you know, this is not a black and white thing. This should never be a black, white thing. But what needs to be understood is that when you have racial injustice, this things like this will happen. It has to be some type of consequence to, you know, a situation like the George Floyd situation. But, you know, hearing from a black man, hearing from a guy that grew up in the South, you know, the message is simple. You know, we're not saying that there's any segregation when it comes to, you know, about somebody's life. It is simply everybody against racial injustice. And that's all colors. That's all races. So that's my viewpoint on that.
We're talking to Rashawn Evans, Titans linebacker. And Rashawn, you said so many compelling things there. I could ask you so many questions about a lot of them. I've got a couple that came to mind, though, as you were talking. Number one, I think it was really interesting. You were talking about some of the conversations you've had with your coaches and your teammates. And, you know, I kind of started off the show with a theme like that. That's one of my favorite things about playing team sports is guys coming from way different perspectives, different backgrounds, different areas of the country, and coming together for your common goal. But it can serve as such a great purpose when you can really have a conversation, right, about these things. You can kind of get look at something from a different perspective, learn a lot about life that way. And I think that can be really constructive here.
Oh, no doubt. And like I said, man, you know, I feel like I've had a, from my football experience, I have, in a way, been, which is crazy to think about, even as a black man coming out of the South, I have also been protected by the fact that I do play football. You know, the simple fact that I'm able to kind of exclude myself from an environment that a lot of these other black guys are being exposed to, I've excluded myself from that type of environment and been able to have that locker room experience, to be able to be exposed to not only just white people, but people of all races. And you get a different understanding of, you know, how people are. You get an understanding of people's cultures and how they perceive the world. And, you know, that's the beautiful thing about football. You know, it's definitely unfortunate, the fact that everybody doesn't have that type of experience in a football locker room, what it really means to have a full organization, a full team, you know, working the one thing and everybody having to literally lean on each other in order to get the job done. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, even with the stuff that's going on now in the world, I know it makes it really complex, you know, really, you know, hard to understand that concept because of, you know, the different levels of inequality that are going on in the world. But, you know, I always say there's never too late to change things. It's never too late to go about a situation like this and turn it into a positive situation. You know, even from this death from George Floyd, I think it definitely woke up a lot of people to understand that, you know, every life on this globe should be preserved. Every life on this globe should definitely be treated as such equally. So, I mean, even from that death, it's unfortunate as it is, but I feel like it opened up a lot of people's eyes to know that, you know what I'm saying, this is something that everybody should be involved up in, and people should all band together to understand that, look, this is a bigger picture, to see the bigger picture of, you know, people want to be happy. People want to be able to live their life as, you know, calmly, as peaceful as possible. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is by simply coming together on something like this.
Another parallel that I think is really something to look at it through the prism of sports is, Rashawn, you can imagine one of the theme lines for your team is that you've got some great veteran players that have been great leaders that are moving on. You're a young player. You've got those leadership qualities, and you're growing into that role. Well, it's the same thing with our society. I think we were thinking from the very start of the pandemic, and now certainly where we are now, when you add these other layers to it, you really find out what great leadership qualities are. We've seen great examples of leadership on a lot of levels, and then others where you're kind of questioning that leadership there. But I think that's another great parallel between sports and life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no doubt. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing, too, man, to have these different outlets. Like you guys, like this, you know, just to have, you know, opportunities to voice your opinion and to hear somebody else's opinion and then come to a conclusion on, you know, what solution there can be in order to help something like this. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like, you know, when you do those things, when you have those conversations, man, I feel like even the person that may be opposed to your opinion. They still have an understanding of where you're coming from, how you might be feeling at that point, and the reason why you feel that way. So, you know, I think it's a beautiful thing, man, to be able for you guys to have me on here, for me to voice my opinion, for you guys to voice yours as well, and people who are able to, you know, listen to the conversations that we have. I feel like it should be something that is done globally amongst everybody to have more conversation about this stuff so that everybody understands what's really going on in the world and that, you know, we prevent stuff like this from happening again.
Rashawn Evans is with us, Titans linebacker, and very, very well said, Rashawn. I almost hate having to, you know, to ask some football questions, but I do have a couple of football questions for you. But along the leadership lines, on Monday Night Football to kick off your season, you guys will play the Denver Broncos, and lined up on the defensive line for them will be somebody that you spent a couple of years with in Jarrell Casey. And when you talk about leaders, I mean, his picture's in the dictionary for this Tennessee Titans team. So what did Jarrell mean to you your first couple of years in the league?
Jarrell, man, I feel like he was one of those guys that, you know, that just definitely gave me a perspective of, you know, me coming in as a young guy, having, you know, a first-round mentality of just having the weight of the league on your shoulders and to have to produce immediately like it was. He definitely brought things back to a simpler concept, and which was number one thing was to be patient with yourself. And two, you know, approach the game in a way that you would approach it, you know, like as if you was a little kid, man. You want to have fun when you play this game. This game should never be stressful to you. And then two, don't ever be afraid to reach out to guys like Jarrell Casey or older guys to get knowledge, because these guys have experienced so many different things, not only just with football, but also off the field situation. You know, and with that, he's always taught me, you know, make sure you take care of that off field stuff so that when you go on field that, you know, everything else doesn't affect that. So, I mean, just a guy like that, I mean, you it's hard to replace because he brings so many dynamics to the organization, you know, just not just with football, but just the knowledge. And, you know, just a guy that is really, truly willing to take young guys up under his wing and really mold them to be, you know, great players.
You know, Dean Pease has had a lasting impression the last couple of years on this franchise, and obviously retiring. The defense is going to look a little different, I guess, because you're going to have a different voice. But how excited are you to be able to continue what Dean put in place with Coach Vrabel, with the other coaches, and you guys on the defense?
Man, I'm excited, man. Dean Pease, I mean, he is a genius when it comes to, I mean, football. He's just a genius. I mean, I remember him telling me about his experience of 40 years. I mean, he has been in the game and has played has learned this game and taught this game for longer than I've been alive. And that's something, you know, with a guy like that, you just shut up and you just listen. You just take as much knowledge as you can from him, and then you use it. And I feel like that's what he did for me, and I'm pretty sure he did that for a lot of guys. You know, I'm glad now he's able to enjoy his life. I mean, he has served the game as good as you can serve it, you know, being a coach. And, you know, I just feel like it was a blessing for me to be able to, you know, be up under him and be coached by him, because he taught me a lot of things, man. And, you know, I feel like even still from his teachings today, I still will use for my game and be able to pass that on down to the younger guys that are coming in.
Rashawn, as we wrap this up, and I want you to hear this, whenever this show has asked Robbie Bourne or Dwight to have you on the show, yes, you're a great player for the Tennessee Titans, and you're going to get better and better. It's amazing. I still think you have so much more to give, and you've already turned into a hell of a player as it is. But, yes, you're a football player, and we're going to talk some football with you, but the main reason that we've asked for you to be on the show is because we know we can talk other stuff with you, and you're going to put thought into it. And you did it here again today. I'm not surprised whatsoever. Our listeners are not surprised. The three of us are not surprised. You're a very thoughtful young man, and we always appreciate your visits. Thanks for doing this again.
Man, thank you guys for having me once again, man. Thank you.
Really appreciate it, and we'll talk to you down the road, okay? Continue to be safe.
I will. Sounds good, and same to you.
All right, that is Titans linebacker Rashawn Evans. More of Darren Donick and Chase next. Thank you, Eli. Good stuff. Don't forget, many local businesses here in Middle Tennessee are now open and ready to serve you during these times. You can help them out by visiting rocknashville.com. That's rocknashville.com for delivery, pickup options, fitness ideas, virtual entertainment, and much, much more. We got this, Nashville. Support your local businesses. That is a very good message here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Sad news, legendary player and coach Johnny Majors has passed away at 85. We will talk to Jimmy Himes in Knoxville coming up at high noon. We're excited about that. Jimmy knew his relationship with Johnny Majors in the media-wise was about as good as it gets. We had Kevin Skarbinski on yesterday to talk about Hall of Fame coach Pat Dye passing away this week, and he told great stories about Pat Dye at Auburn, and I suspect we'll get the same thing out of Jimmy coming up at noon. So a lot of things to get into. It looks like on the NFL side of things, we've talked a lot about NASCAR and a cup race returning to Nashville in a year from now out at the Nashville Super Speedway. Over on the NFL side, speaking of, you just heard that great interview with Rashawn Evans. He was absolutely fantastic. It looks like, Chase, that NFL players will not return to their team facilities until training camp. Mm-hmm. And I guess the league has asked the teams, yeah, we're going to need you to do it from your facilities, because there are a lot of teams, you know, go elsewhere, or, you know, they don't do it there at their facility. So they're asking everybody, hey, we need you to do it at your facilities this training camp, and there's not going to be anything until the end of July when these players report.
Yeah, and I think the Cowboys always went to L.A. or California.
In California.
Yeah, California. Mm-hmm. So they always
the
did
the Bengals
theirs.
Always went to, what was it, in Kentucky?
Yeah. Yeah, so a lot
just
of
– across the border.
And it's because a lot of the – or not a lot of, but some of the team facilities just aren't equipped to house a lot of people. You know, you obviously have a much larger roster for training camp, and so that's why they go offside. I remember the Titans 1 year went to Austin Peay. They've pretty much the last few years, though, done it from their facility.
That was a one-off, and I went out there for that, and that was probably the hottest training camp I was ever a part of, and I didn't have to be out on the field for 2 days. It was brutal, that training camp. I swear it was 110 every day. That's what it felt like.
Was that like 03, 04? I mean, that was a while ago.
That sounds about right, yeah. Sounds about right. Sometime, and that's 03, 04, I don't remember exactly, but that's, I would say one of those years sounds right.
Yeah, but that it is interesting that the NFL has made that ruling, because, I mean, there's a lot of logistics with training camp, because typically teams go to a hotel and they, you know, they're all – or dorms. Like if they, you know, go to a small college or something, I mean, they're in dorms. So it's different. So I do wonder if, you know, for instance, in this town, and you probably have to put some players in hotel, but – for the first couple of weeks, I mean, do they just say the veterans go home? You know, so you're limiting who's in a hotel, or what do you do? I mean, I think that's interesting. You know, they're going to be at the facilities, but there's still some other logistics that have to be worked out.
It was 06.
06. Okay.
Wrong. 06.
All right. So.
So they've been asked to obviously not have joint training camps. We know the Patriots were here last year, but no joint training camps, everybody at their own facilities. And I don't think this is anything earth-shattering. I don't think this should surprise anybody, right? That seems pretty logical in these times for those to be the rules for NFL training camps.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised by that. I mean, you just want to limit as much, you know, as many people out there as possible. I'm curious of you know, media policies, because, you know, that's one thing. We've done shows from out there with the Titans. You know, I would assume if they're not going to let fans into the games, they're definitely not going to let them into the facilities. So I think it's safe to say no fans will be there. But I think that this is – I hate that they're not going to have the joint practices, because that's been fun.
Oh,
and that's something
been a lot of fun over the years.
Yeah, and it's not just Vrabel that's done it. I mean, we've seen that, you know, for a while in years past, but – I know, you know, they're playing the Patriots, or they're Look what I just did. They're playing the Bucks in the week three of the preseason, so you kind of wondered, would there be a joint practice that week as a wasp just flies through?
Let's say, you okay?
Yeah. I was just sitting here talking, and I look up and see a wasp making a dive bomb at me in my office here, so that wasn't fun. But, so I was wondering if they were going to do that, have a joint practice with the Bucks. But I guess now they won't.
Speaking of Mike Vrabel, he did speak with the media and talking about it. It was pretty interesting hearing Rashawn Evans talk about the head coach, Mike Vrabel. Here's what Mike Vrabel had to say.
Would just like to, as always, wish you guys well and hope everybody's safe. Hope everybody's working through a very difficult time in our society. And with that, I would just like to share a few things. I have to past couple of days of personal reflection and some really great conversations with our owner, Miss Amy, and our general manager, John Robinson, most especially our football team. There's just some things I would like to say. First, to acknowledge my own personal privilege, one that's real. I'd like to acknowledge a social blind spot that either I was unaware of or chose not to see. I've had the unbelievable opportunity to listen to our players the last 2 days in our team meetings, listen to them with an open mind and hear and learn what they believe in and how they feel. Amy, John, and myself have tried to put great people and great fathers and great husbands and great student athletes onto our football team. And the majority of those men are African-American with a much different experience and background than I'll ever know. And by listening and understanding those thoughts and feelings and how they feel has helped me recognize, I think, what's important. And what's important is that we find ways to respect each other's feelings, that we respect each other's beliefs, that we respect each other's efforts to make positive change in our community where we work, in the communities where we live, and the communities where we grew up. Being a only child of a basketball coach, playing for the Ohio State Buckeyes, Pittsburgh Steelers, the New England Patriots, and the Kansas City Chiefs afforded me a great luxury of seeing how successful locker rooms are built and managed. They're built and managed on fair competition, love, loyalty, accountability, teamwork. What they're not built on is race, creed, color, or money. I would say that in closing, leaders are prepared. Leaders take decisive action and inspire a group of people towards a common goal. That common goal is inclusion, diversity, equality, opportunity. And so on behalf of the Tennessee Titans, our owner, our general manager, the head football coach, our staff, we want to support and we'll continue to help lead our players as we work towards that common goal.
There you go, head coach Mike Vrabel yesterday addressing the media, and interesting stuff from him, and not surprised that, and I've heard several people make kind of the same comments of, you just don't see that in an NFL locker room, and I suspect coaches around in sports would say they don't, none of this that's going on in our country, they see in their locker room. That shouldn't surprise anybody. Yeah. Everybody is of one, right? They are a team. They don't view each other as, what their race, religion, anything like that, their preferences. I would say that shouldn't surprise anybody, and I wish we could maybe incorporate some more locker room mentality into our society. I think we'd be better off if we could.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And that wasn't scheduled, by the way. The media was going to talk to defensive coaches. Mike Vrabel was not scheduled, and he jumped in and made those comments. So I thought that was poignant by him. I thought those were very, very good comments and well said. But, I agree. I wish everybody could think that way, and maybe one day they will, because, Rashawn Evans brought that up. Michael Griffin last night with me brought that up, that, the locker room is just different. It's you don't think that way in the locker room. It's just that's the trash talking is, usually between you know, rival colleges or something like that. But it's, you know, that's your brother right next to you, and it doesn't matter what they look like or what they do. That's just kind of how they act. So it goes back to our message that we've pretty much delivered all week of listening and having a conversation, and that's just what we need to do.
And more actions. I mean,
more actions, yeah.
It's words are great. Awareness is great, but more actions. I think there's a lot of people, and everybody should be in the boat of it's time to see more actions. Like I said, words and conversations and awareness are all great, but at some point there needs to be more actions than words, and I think that's where a lot of people are, and that's where a lot of people should absolutely be. Jeff on Twitter says, if a person who had no idea who Rashawn Evans is were to listen to that interview with him, he tweeted this at me, and afterwards you told them that he is a 24-year-old third-year NFL player, I think it would be very difficult to convince them of that. What a great player and an even better person. Hashtag so glad he is a Titan. I could not agree anymore. He's very to hear that from we lose sight that he's 24, and I called him a young man because he's an adult, but he is a young man. He's 24 years old, and I certainly couldn't have put some of the words together and sentences together and the message together that he did with us yesterday at 24. I had a long ways to go. Yeah. That's why he's so impressive.
So did I. But yeah, and you know, I think it goes back to what we said too of, you know, trying to find the next leaders in this locker room, and you know, okay, could it be Rashawn Evans? Well, you hear that interview, I think that pretty much answers it for you. So that was very true, and just the things that he said, and I appreciate how well thought out. And you said that at the end of the interview, just how well thought out his answers are, and. He doesn't know what we're going to ask, but I mean, he could probably have an idea on certain things, but he puts a lot of thought into how he answers a question. And that, you know, we've seen several of those guys over the years that do that. But that's not an easy skill. That's not something that you can just all of a sudden, boom, be good at. And he is. So that's just credit to his upbringing and his time at Alabama and now at the Titans.
You know, we've had some good conversations with Taylor Twellman. I remember when we were at Tin Roof on Demumbrian right before the game. It was the Friday before the game in Nissan Stadium,
yep,
against Atlanta United. And we had a really good conversation. We've had other conversations with him. He's really good at what he does. He's obviously a former soccer player, really good soccer player, and now he's a really good analyst for ESPN. I don't know if you saw this tweet by him, but he said, "My sport," this is Taylor Twellman, who is a soccer analyst for ESPN. He said, "My sport around the world is arguably the most racist, and FIFA has done nothing, I mean nothing, to abolish it."
Wow.
I've never heard that. That was really interesting to see that tweet. I mean, that you're talking about a wow. Evidently, he said this on, I think, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
So in Canada?
That's in Toronto. Yeah, it's in Toronto. Yeah.
Wow.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I guess he said that on there, and they've tweeted out his interview, their entire interview with him, and that quote from him. My sport around the world is arguably the most racist, and FIFA has done nothing, and I mean nothing, to abolish it.
Wow. Yeah, I mean,
I guess I don't know enough about,
I don't either,
you know, soccer around the world to truly understand that. We don't talk to enough international soccer players to get that story. But that is a wow to me. I would have never thought that.
Yeah, I wouldn't either, but that's, and I mean, he's somebody that would know. I mean, he's very connected to the sport. So for him to say that, I mean, that speaks volumes that he would come out with such strong words. So do they listen? Do they change? I mean, I think in this climate, they have to. This is what we're talking about, of whether it's a, you know, a sport, a group like that, or, you know, just individuals, that, you know, you gotta come up with some sort of solution and plan to listen to one another and to fix this, because you know, as I've said a couple times now this week, it's 2020. I can't believe we're still having this conversation. You know, that's how I feel. But for him to say that's saying a lot.
Honestly, I'd like to hear a guy like Bubba Wallace. We've talked so much NASCAR today.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear his perspective.
Bubba has been active on social media, and I know he's done some interviews with the Glass Case of Emotion, which is Ryan Blaney's podcast. He's been on with him and been open about it. But yeah, and Bubba's another one of those guys. Darrell Wallace Jr., everybody calls him Bubba Wallace. He is very smart young man.
Oh, I've interviewed him. He is impressive.
Yeah, yeah. I love talking to Bubba Wallace. He's funny. He's a Vols fan, you know. But he is he's extremely intelligent.
In fact, one of them I think was a Predators pregame show,
probably
in Barrel House.
Yeah, I think so.
They were promoting
that.
Bristol.
Yep, I think I remember that. And he's been on my show, Chasing Checkers, a couple times. And I mean, he's laid back and he's a talented driver. You know, Richard Petty Motorsports isn't what it used to be, so you don't hear as much about him with you know, finishes and all of that. But he's very, very intelligent and has a lot to say. And he's somebody that you should definitely listen to, because think about what he does in the sport that he's
in. Well, that's the reason I transitioned from soccer and Taylor Twellman's comments to now. I mean, just think about the sport he's in. I mean,
because NASCAR has always been that, you know, the Southeast, and man, there was a long time that there was a stigma there, and they're still trying to shake that stigma. Now, have they done a lot of good things? And, you know, Bubba Wallace is a prime example of that and diversity, and put a lot of effort into that. Absolutely. But what was one of the big stories that we talked about during this pandemic that, you know, was related to NASCAR? Well, it was a racial slur. It was a word that Kyle Larson used, and it got him fired, got him kicked out of the sport.
Yep.
Right now. You know, will he probably be back? Yeah, probably will, but
maybe, maybe. I'm not willing to say probably. I'll give it my strongest maybe.
Hmm. Well, and you may be right, because he's a big name. It's, you know, he made a huge mistake. So you may very well be right. I know he's been running some dirt races and World of Outlaws, but, you know, he was in big time NASCAR Cup racing.
He will have to work very, very hard to repair to get back.
Yeah. Yeah. And he should. He absolutely
Agreed.
Should.
Agreed.
But, you know, after that happened, Bubba Wallace even put out, he goes, you know, Kyle and I've talked, and he knows my thoughts, and he's apologized, but he was very outspoken about that they have talked. And, you know, that was something too that Michael Griffin brought up with me last night, of when he was growing up and hearing that word, and it was a word that was not in his vocabulary, that they didn't, you know, he didn't use, but he said, I heard white kids calling each other that because they'd hear it in rap songs and think it was okay. And that's where you have to educate people of that. And, you know, he brought that up several times during the interview last night. But I think, you know, that's something we'll effort to do, is get Bubba Wallace on, because he's, as you said, you've interviewed him too. He's great to talk to.
Oh, he's fantastic. All right, we'll come back and wrap up the second hour of Darren, Donnick, and Chase next. You can stream us from anywhere. Download the Game Nashville app. That's free and easy. You can also enable Alexa Skill or Google Home and ask it to play 102.5 The Game, or live stream us from our website, which is thegamenashville.com. Jimmy Himes coming up at high noon. We'll talk about the passing of Falls legend Johnny Majors. That is coming up at noon today. Brandy on Twitter says, go listen to this week's Dale Jr. download with Bubba Wallace. It is incredible. You will hear what he had to say about everything going on in the world. So there you go. Good tip from Brandy. So we can do that.
Yeah. Yeah. The Dale Jr. downloads his weekly podcast that he does. And they also,
that's Chase's ringtone. So yes, yeah, you should have that on there.
I do. No, my ringtone is, hey, it's Dale Jr. Answer your phone. No. But you can watch it on NBC Sports Network too. But I saw that actually when we went to the break that that's who his guest was this week, and I need to go check that out after the show for sure.
Adrian Wojnarowski, who covers the NBA for ESPN, had some comments about their return-to-play format. Here's what he had to say.
The format that the league is focused on right now is that 22-team return-to-play, the 16 playoff teams who are in position now, and then an additional six teams who are on the way out who will play in for the eighth seeds in each conference. And essentially now you see what the structure of the regular season and postseason calendar would look like, and what that would include, Sage, regular season games, play-in games, and then the playoffs and the last possible date that teams have been now informed of for the NBA Finals. Game 7 would be on that October 12th, and teams are now planning to be in Orlando in July, start at their own practice facilities, and then move down for a more formal training camp later in July with that July 31 tip-off in Orlando under this current 22-game proposal.
There you go. So the top 16 teams in the Eastern and Western Conferences will be in the playoffs, but they will be joined by teams. There's six other teams that are within six games of eighth place in either one of those conferences. Those teams are New Orleans, Portland, San Antonio, Sacramento, Phoenix, and Washington. So the playoff or the play-in tournament would include eight versus nine teams, and all this will be in Orlando. What I didn't hear is, so if Game 7 is slated for the middle of October, if the NBA Finals were to go to Game 7, what are they talking about starting their next season?
Well, I haven't heard that either, but I remember Elliot Friedman throwing out, and this was just us talking, but Christmas, and mm-hmm. if you think about the timeline, that could probably be it. Now, you know, that's so that'd be, what, 2 months thereabouts? So I think
be
Christmas –
just past two – would be two – 2 months, 2.5 months.
Yeah, I think it depends on how much time the players need or want, you know, whatever you negotiate there in between seasons. But my guess is that the NHL and the NBA, and we're here July 31st for the NBA, we've been throwing out August 1st somewhere in that realm for the NHL. So once again, they're in sync. My guess is it would probably be around Christmas that they're tipping off their next season to try and get all 82 in a compact schedule. But this is very interesting. Of July 31st, that's when it'll looks to be when it happens. But my guess, yeah, I like it. It's progress.
The way this is all setting up is, man, it is going to be one heck of a fall for sports.
Oh, I mean,
if we get on here in the fall and say, I'm not sure what we're going to talk about today, the only reason we would say that is because there's just so much to get to.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's interesting, too, is Marquise told us, so Adam Amin, who's been with ESPN for a long time, he's going to join us tomorrow at 11. It was announced he's going to be the television play-by-play announcer for the Chicago Bulls. So it'll be interesting to get into some of the stuff with him when we talk to him tomorrow at 11. But, yeah, there's going to be so much going on, Darren. I mean, we'll be coming off a Predator Stanley Cup win, hopefully, talking about that, you know, or they'll be in the middle of that. Then getting ready for their next season, the NBA, NASCAR will still be in the playoffs, the NFL starting, college football. I mean, it's all going to be there. Baseball. Whew.
Will the announcers be going to Orlando?
I don't know. I haven't seen anything on that. I think that's something that's still being figured out, you know, with the NBA, with the NHL, of what, you know, what's going to happen. Will the players or will the announcers travel and actually be on site, or are they going to do things via the studio? You know how we've said that they all are talking to each other or should be talking and watching each other? What's NASCAR been doing the past few weeks? They've had their announcers in a studio, and it's worked. I mean, I haven't really noticed that Mike Joy, Larry McReynolds, Jeff Gordon missed a beat calling the action from the Charlotte studio. They've had one pit reporter on pit road. They had two
Regan
for the
Smith.
Coke 600. Yeah, well, or
Matt Yoakam.
Matt Yoakam.
It's weird because you're right. They do have others, but I feel like every time I'm watching, it's Regan.
Regan has done a lot of it because he is a former driver and can be an on-track analyst. So that's kind of why they've done that. But Matt Yoakum's done quite a bit. They had Vince Welch, Endura Race, Jamie Little did the Coke 600 along with I think, Regan. So they had two for that one. But, yeah, they've kind of mixed and matched. You know, they've had the Xfinity and truck races to cover. But Regan has gotten a bulk of it just because of his, you know, driving experience. And so it's been nice to have that on-track analyst to kind of help the guys back at the studio.
Yeah, I to be honest, I haven't really noticed. I mean, you know, you don't sit there and watch the broadcast and be like, oh, man.
Yeah.
It would sound so much better if Mike and Jeff were there, you know, and Larry. If they were just all there, I mean, it would sound so much like maybe somebody has that feeling.
I haven't.
It sounded just fine.
Yeah, it's worked. So
I don't know their setup. They probably have a really cool setup, and not everybody's going to have a setup like that. So that does change things. My guess is their setup is pretty darn cool.
Now, I think it's probably different, and it is. Yeah, their studio, they put a lot of money into that. It's a virtual set that they can use, but I you know, it'd be different calling a basketball game or a hockey game or a football game from a studio because you are looking at the action live, maybe more so than NASCAR. You know, one thing that we talked to, I guess it was Larry Mack or somebody about. No, it was me. I talked to Vince Welch from Fox Sports for my podcast, Chasing Checkers, and he said, because I asked him about that, and he said, well, what people, I think, lose sight of in NASCAR is we actually do call a lot of it off a monitor anyway because the tracks are so big. You can't see everything. You know, having to use binoculars, it's just you're with the camera angles that we have, we're using monitors quite a bit. That's not necessarily the case for other sports. So, you know, there might be a different, and I mean, Willie is the one to ask too, because of call, and he's spoken on this some of that, you know, being there live and watching it, you know, with your own two eyes, there definitely is a different. Can it be done from a monitor? Sure. But I am just curious to see what they're going to end up doing for these sports and the play-by-play.
Jimmy Himes to start the third hour of Darren Donick and Chase on this Wednesday from WNML, the Sports Animal in Knoxville. He will certainly tell us everything we need to know about Johnny Majors and learning the sad news that he had passed away at age 85 today. We will come back with Jimmy on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.